Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Alec.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap. My brother and I try to tap the potential of a story by, that's not right, I'll start over. And this is StoryTap, where my brother and I try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This episode, Insomatic. Part Agatha Christie murder mystery, part slasher film, part Black Mirror episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it occurred to me.
It occurred to him? He thought
just, I think it was just yesterday, that we've never made an episode about a movie where a guy gets sucked into a computer. Or a video game.
Oh, really? That seems off-brand for us.
I know, right?
That's like, that's how, what I spend most of my time thinking about.
Like, we need to copy the greats like Tron and Spy Kids 3. And The Matrix. Spy Kids 3 really should have been the last one on that list, but I couldn't remember.
Sword Art Online. Ooh. Cyber Chase.
Yeah. The whole trope being, of course, being sucked into a game against your will.
And doing math to solve problems.
Are we going in that direction, perhaps?
I feel like I'm pushing it, but anyway.
Oh, man.
I'm going to bring up Cyber Chase a lot in this episode. By the way, all of you listening out there, how often do you think about Chalk Zone? Because I think about Chalk Zone constantly.
Chalk Zone was heat.
It was really great. It doesn't get enough credit. If you've never seen Chalk Zone, go watch a couple episodes of Chalk Zone. It's pretty great.
I can't remember a single... Well, whenever I think about Chalk Zone, let's not talk about Chalk Zone right now.
Okay, that'll be my solo podcast. I am a Chalk Zone fan cast.
The Chalk Zone fan hour. All right, folks. I have not gotten any new information on Chalk Zone since the last episode, but...
So, I'm just gonna sum up the first episode of Chalk Zone.
How many episodes of Chalk Zone are there? Because I feel like that's how many episodes of this podcast we're going to have.
There should be twice as many.
So, the easy part, first of all, just the constant brainstorming. What is our movie going to look like? Is it a movie, first of all?
I think it's a movie. Yeah. I don't know. I think if we learned anything from Sword Art, it's that stretching that concept out over the course of a TV show becomes tedious.
Yeah, very true.
If we learned anything from Cyber Chase, it's that that's not necessarily true.
That's good.
That's one.
So, oh boy. I don't know why, but I'm not super into it right now.
Oh.
Into the podcast, I mean. But, like, with time, we'll be good.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that lie. It works in relationships, too.
Nice. So I've been told.
That's a joke. It does not work. You can't force yourself to love a podcast or a woman, Eric.
I'm just sitting here waiting to be struck with inspiration, I guess. So... First things first, we would have to explain why this person gets sucked into a computer. Because, like with The Matrix, with Spy Kids, like it's not just like a, oh, well, that's just a thing that exists in our diegetic universe.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like, in Tron, there's a video game universe, and he gets, like, atomized with the space laser. I don't know. Nobody watched Tron.
Yeah, wait a minute. I can't
cared about Tron Legacy.
Did they explain that?
Hmm?
I mean, okay. Well, the
he
point
got shot
is...
with like a particle deconstruction laser or yeah. something.
The point is, our protagonist is not just going in and out of a video game or a computer. It's that, like, it's like, oh, whoa, computers are foreign and different and weird new technology. I guess that was actually such a thing because computers were pretty new, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean...
The household computer, I guess, as opposed to computers.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had 60s computers with... You know what? I'm not going to reveal my ignorance, but computers looked very differently only, like, 20 years ago. And, you know, when they first showed up, they looked way different.
Yeah.
The first computers, I don't... Alan Turing. See, I know some stuff. But, you know, it's... Computers look very differently. And have changed a lot already and are going to keep changing a lot. I have an idea.
Okay.
I think this could be... this could potentially be really interesting if it's like an experimental... It's an experimental AI interface program. Not like... I mean, you know, a virtual reality program, but it's more immersive. It's like a full dive thing.
Uh-huh.
Full dive. Ooh, I know a word. Yeah. I think there's some cool potential in this idea if it becomes, if it is a kind of existential horror movie.
Okay.
It is, you are fully immersed in this, and the AI is, well, it's a scary AI. It's trying to understand people.
Okay, I feel like, okay. Yeah,
I think there's something interesting. I think there's kind of an interesting potential, and it's more like there's something kind of more horrifying than it's a monster as opposed to it wants to understand me. It wants to be more like people. So it interacts with these people and studies how they behave in duress.
I know. Ooh. I see what you mean. And that's really solid. It reminds me, I saw a trailer for some movie that, there must be like a motorcycle club or something nearby.
Fair enough.
Also, there's a train track right there.
Is it Tau? Were you thinking of Tau, where Gary Oldman plays a robot?
No. It's a movie that is not out yet. The trailer just came out recently. There is a Caucasian family. I think the dad, the protagonist, or one of the protagonists, is Oscar Isaac. That's Poe Dameron, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's, like, the main protagonist. And the family has, like, they adopted an AI robot as an older sibling slash nanny to their daughter. I don't remember what it's called. It's like Dan or Dave or something. It's just the robot's name. And that, when I saw the trailer for that, I was like, here's another movie that's like, ooh, AI, scary. And I was like, this is going to be really heavy-handed. I finished the trailer and I'm like, that actually looks pretty solid. It doesn't seem to be like, computers? Thinking? Who can know? Is God real? It's like, God, there's so much cool potential for artificial intelligence exploration, especially through a narrative in a film. And 90% of the time, it's like, hey, brains, just computers. And, like, people stop there, and they think that's cool and dramatic and enough of a statement, and I very much disagree.
No, and that's like the opposite. That's like the opposite of where we're going with brains are just computers. And saying the opposite, it's like, that means if we make something real enough, then it might be real. That's crazy. That if you make a robot that thinks about its own thinking enough, that's kind of a person.
Yeah.
If you really focus on that aspect of AI, like going full Westworld style, I feel like this, I keep just getting into trying to talk smack about things that I didn't finish watching.
So we need, I think we're slowly zeroing in on the theme here with Dave or Dan, or I'm getting that name completely wrong. About,
let's just try and avoid infringing on copyright and just name him, I don't know, Beppo. Yeah. Beppo the robot.
But what that movie is representative of is the new age Tron kind of movie. Here's this technology that is very quickly becoming a part of everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
That when you ask someone how it works, they're like, oh, I don't know. And then you know you got something. Like, a really, not necessarily terrifying, but existentially a little unnerving subject material for a movie. Computers, people more or less are like, I see the potential for a computer. So it was more just unexplored territory of potential. AI is much more of a black box. It is literally, there is a black box component to an AI.
Yeah.
So not only do you see, oh, I see there's some potential that I'm not familiar with, so that's a little scary.
Yeah.
Then you learn the term black box, and you're like, ah, unknowable.
Yeah, it's like that three-step process. One,
setup.
Silicon, Question mark? Soul.
Holy. There you go. So this is the new age gets sucked into a computer movie. Is just, instead of the antagonist, or, you know, the... Instead of man versus environment. Tricky. Because rather than being sucked into the computer, and that being, like, unfamiliar territory, and then after a while we establish, like, oh no, you're just in the computer, because we know how computers work. There could be something there about making the antagonist the unfamiliar territory. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't quite see what I'm saying, but I know what I'm getting at. You know, it's so different. That's a train, ignore it.
Ignore the train. Pay no attention to the train behind where we're recording. Okay, hang on. I like that. So the antagonist is the unfamiliar territory. I'm going to pitch an idea, and honestly, it sounds... I'm kind of excited for the idea, and I feel like we can talk about it later if it doesn't actually track well. I like the idea of there's this virtual reality environment,
mm-hmm.
and there are a number of people in it.
Okay.
It's an advanced... It's a really advanced Turing test. And it is an AI trying to determine if it can tell which one of the people in the sphere is an AI.
Interesting.
See if an AI can distinguish an AI from people.
Yes. Okay, cool.
Because, like, that's sort of, like, this is... And this is, like, a near future where people are, like, trying to beef up the Turing test because people have been poking holes in the Turing test for years. It's like, if you have a really, really good chatbot, it can beat the Turing test.
Yes.
But an AI can pick up those, can pick up when something is talking, when algorithms, and if you put two chatbots together, they inevitably descend into accusing each other of being robots.
Exactly.
You taught me that, just to be clear. Yeah. I didn't pull that from anywhere. That's, Eric gets credit on that one. But I like this idea. I just wonder if it just becomes this weird, surreal horror show of an AI trying to not torture, but torment people. And because it's kind of determined that if there's a way to figure out which of you isn't a real person, it will be under duress.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It will be like when you're frightened or stressed.
So it's becoming like a psychological horror.
Yes, kind of I thing. Think, and I've got this, it's like a weird modified version of And Then There Were None. It's which of I feel like the alternative is one of you is a real person.
Okay. And I just had an idea right now, so put a pin in that and I'm gonna keep my hand here.
Okay, yeah.
That's the pin so we can continue with your thing. But my thing over here. I like the idea of AI is becoming, oh God, this would actually happen in real life. That's kind of scary.
Okay, cool.
But we don't think about scary things. AI is advancing at a rate that is alarming to the average population in our movie universe.
Uh-huh.
And the too big to fail kind of people, companies that be, decide, this is alarming. We need to figure out a way to distinguish AI from humans. We need something. How about we outsource that to an AI? How about we build an AI that can learn to distinguish? That would actually happen.
Yo.
You know?
Yeah. It's one that's been, it's a joke that's been making the rounds recently. My computer asking me if I'm a robot. You are a robot.
Oh no, because I think that's really cool, because basically that's what is that one called, the computer they taught to play Go, and then they were like, wait a minute, I'm just gonna call it GoBot. That might not be what it's called, because I know what GoBots
funny, yeah.
are I'm going to call it GoBot.
All right, so this is GoBot the movie.
It beat the world champion 4 out of 5 times, and then they were like, why only 4? Let's go for 5. So they pinned GoBot against another GoBot, and they were like, okay, play a million games of Go, but learn as you go. So they had, I don't remember what this one was called, so I'll call it Meta GoBot. Basically, what we're making as the antagonist or looming dangerous force for our movie is Meta AI.
Okay.
So we're going to call that, like, Meta AI, I guess.
Yeah. So I suppose the concern for... I actually kind of love the idea, because I feel like almost the inevitable conclusion of Meta AI is none of you are as real as me.
Oh, jeez.
I know, right?
Like, we're not even talking about a movie anymore. It's been 15 minutes, and we're just throwing ideas back and forth that are terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I get why. Now, you know, I haven't worried about this as much as a lot of other people do. I get why they're worried about it now.
Yeah, for real. Because
we were just playing tennis with worst case scenarios for the last 14 minutes.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so barring Skynet and whatever the bad guy was called in The Matrix,
I mean,
what is our movie like?
Okay, I think we make it. I think the concentration is on making it smaller. I feel like we can sort of imagine a bigger story universe where the world just inevitably falls apart as a result of this, but we want to reduce our scope to one of these experiments.
Mm.
One house full of people with one AI inside of it. And, like, this rendered environment.
Okay.
And Meta AI, not Mark Zuckerberg's company, which is, yeah.
Damn, should've.
Well, no, it's Meta AI. I shouldn't have said Meta. We just call it Meta AI.
Yeah.
I really hope he doesn't ruin that word.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, oh, Meta, that would be a really great name for the bad guy. AI. Yeah.
Now it's on the nose.
Now it's too on the nose.
Because obviously Meta's, not very fine.
Yeah. Don't say it, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that is our setting. We have people coming together into the house.
Yeah.
It's a rendered environment. It's like a vacation. You sign up for this study, we give you a little bit of money, and you spend 2 weeks in this imaginary beach house.
Ah. Okay. Ooh.
With several other people, and you get to meet some interesting people, and at the end, you get to find out who is a robot.
Yeah, that would be so cool. I'm invited to a murder mystery dinner party on Friday, and there are so many different directions to take this movie. Holy, this is so cool.
I thought of it. Okay, so they are not informed that the house is a Meta AI, that the environment is a Meta AI. You're on vacation, and then you find out that one person in the house is a proctor, or an admin, or whatever people say. It's like, they're the only one who knows
that. Oh, okay.
That there is someone in the house is an AI. And it's like, he said, if it's me, I would be programmed to not tell you. I wouldn't necessarily be programmed to know. The idea would be that I don't know. If I don't know, I'm more convincing.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, sorry. Pin in my idea for later. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So I guess that also means if we're following anybody individually, it shouldn't start from outside. Or should it?
Hmm. I don't have an answer to that quite yet, but I want to get this pin out of the wall.
Okay,
on my right hand. You mentioned being in distress is, like, how Meta AI is going to learn, like, oh, an AI doesn't deal with stress or getting rid of stress or eliminating the source of stress the same as a human would, so I need to learn that. What it could be is Meta AI does these experiments, like, all the time.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, ah, I need to learn about stress and like, terror. All right, this next beach house vacation thing is going to have the theme of mortal terror. And, like, it's maybe it's, like, plays out like a murder mystery but for the audience, but more like a actually, like, scary. And we can decide the tone. We don't have to decide that yet. But then the thing is, meta AI is like, ah, there are different forms of terror. For instance, existential. You are going to realize you are in, like, a simulation.
Oh, my God.
And you are going to think you escape. Kind of twist. This is so creepy cool. Okay. There we go.
Okay, there we go. Is that... It's reached this level of understanding that there is a distinct flavor of terror in after that comes after a moment of relief.
Ooh.
And it's like, I'm out. There's the thing that was just chasing me. Oh, I am goodness. Not out.
Oh, goodness.
You think you wake up. And then you open the door, and then you're back in the beach house.
Oh, shit. Now I'm thinking of Black Mirror, but none of the good episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Whew.
I'm sure there were good episodes of Black Mirror.
I haven't watched it. There was one that was pretty good, but it was pretty heavy-handed. And, you know, I was told that it was, like, the least heavy-handed one, so I was like, oh, this is not for me.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Creepers. Peepers?
There it is. Jeepers Creepers is a horror movie, too.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
Yeah. I read a summary of that one. It was garbage. It was like, I'm getting really off track.
Yeah.
He stole someone's eyes, and it was like, whoa! Okay.
Okay.
Oh, like the movie. Huh. Like the song. Good one. Yeah. I guess.
Good one. It's like, why would you make an entire movie for the sake of a weird pun that nobody gets? Okay, we have not named anybody.
We don't need to.
We don't really need to. It is a very ensemble cast. We have a series of people from different walks of life. Yeah. It's the point. It is a classic murder mystery kind of setup. And that's sort of the motivation behind the experiment.
Yeah.
And these people know... It's like, I'm selling some psychological data, because I've always wanted to do one of these VR, vacations, and this one's free, because they're scanning our brains.
Mm. Ah, okay.
Okay, yeah, okay. And then...
Great setup.
I was like, yeah, because they know, they've consented to have the information gathered, what they don't recognize, or, like, the information that was not shared, is that... This meta AI is influencing the environment, and now putting them in distress.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's good. So, the main character will be someone not hyper genius, but computer science guy.
Yeah,
and his whole deal is that he's the only one who like reads the contract. Terms of service agreement, yeah. Whatever. And he's like, oh my gosh, this is messed up. Like, we reserve the right to change your experience at any time. And by we, I mean, we reserve the right for meta AI to change the experience at any time, because this is like a learning process kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So, he's like the only one who thinks he's got a handle on things because he knows that. And he'll maybe, like, tell somebody else, but they'll be like, what, I don't understand.
Like,
what do you mean, change? And he's like, none of this is real. And they're like, yeah, but, like, look around. And he's like, no, you're not even looking right now. You don't understand. Whatever. So when the course of the night goes from, ooh, it's a murder mystery, who's going to be murdered, to, oh my gosh, it's like a slasher film, I feel trapped, he keeps his cool until the end of the movie within a movie, and then at the midpoint start second movie where he starts to freak out,
right,
until like the end. Yeah. And I'm not much for horror movies where like the protagonist has a like a an un.
Yeah, like this is
it's frustrating.
This goes from we've all taken some bad acid. Everybody, stay calm. We can ride this out. To this is not supposed to happen when you take bad acid.
I don't know
what this is anymore.
Oh, that's spooky scary.
I've never done acid, but I imagine if you know what a bad acid trip is supposed to be like, and then it gets worse.
Oh, gosh.
I can't imagine anything quite as bad as I know everything about this, and now I'm out of my depth.
Gosh, that's scary.
Yeah.
This is really cool.
It's a shame we don't like horror movies. This is a great concept.
I mean, that's kind of why I started the podcast, is to prove that I can, that we can come up with kick-ass movie ideas without really getting into the details.
Yeah. All right. I think this works really well. I mean, I think we've got something. So let's kind of try to solidify that first half.
Yeah.
We have...
And we don't have to get through the first half, because the second half of the after the commercial break for the podcast always is a little too short. So let's go just, like, inciting incident, first pinch point. The first, like, third of the movie, let's get down.
Okay. Then we follow our protagonist, who's, I think it works well if we're, like, already in, like, something that is clearly kind of a rendered environment, just kind of white space. It's reading the contract, because it's the only person who reads the terms of services.
Right.
It's like, read. Like, okay, we retain the right to do all of this. And he's like, and he asks us, like, and he, like, brings it up. It makes it very clear that this is an artificial environment. He's like, query.
Hmm.
He asks some questions about it, so, and it's like, we retain, it's a right that's retained to gather the data that's needed, the environment, the meta AI may need to make slight changes. It's not expected to affect the enjoyability of your vacation experience. And I feel like that can be rendered as a disembodied voice, or as, like, I don't know, a semi-human entity.
Yeah.
Or as, like, a human entity. Like, we've established that, this program can, that they can render convincing human visuals, so.
Yes.
And I feel like that's another key element, is that there should be, like, humanoid figures that are clearly not human. Waiting on them.
Yeah.
As, like, they've got a robot butler. And then the robot butler starts doing scary shit.
Yeah. Okay. So let's decide the... It would be logical and prudent of us to come up with that first movie within a movie, that first half. So let's decide the major plot points. And then get into the details of the first half of that first movie within a movie.
Okay. Then the first movie within the movie is one of us is an AI.
Ooh.
Instead of one of us is a murderer, one of us is the AI.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, and things have gone sideways.
Mm.
And then as we approach the midpoint, the discovery is it's not the AI that's in the house that's attacking us. It's the house.
Ooh. Very scary.
Very scary.
Okay. I do want there to be some... And this is something that's going to play a role in the second half, the second movie within a movie. We have the protagonist, computer science guy, have something that he feels... Maybe he has multiple cards up his sleeve that let him have some sort of feeling of control. Like, he knows, this is all a ploy so that the computer can, you know, like, monitor and learn and stuff, blah, 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 blah. Or something is learning. So, there's like a kill phrase that if I say the right thing, then like it'll like just play an audio cue or something, and I'll know it's not real, or it'll take me out, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it not work, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So that in the second half, he can fall back on his second card up his sleeve, and then be like, oh, or oh, wait, maybe he does that, and it does work, and then in the second half, he's thinking, he tries it, it doesn't work. And so he's like, oh, I must be out. So that we can have the twist later of, like, the AI is like, all right, now I'm actually going to pull you out. Thank you. Have a nice day. Goodbye. And then he's got that self-doubt forever.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Dust my hands.
Dust your hands. All right, so I guess that kind of leaves the question, do we ever find out who the AI in the program is?
I don't know.
I don't know. And I don't know if it's important.
Now that I've come up with this second movie within a movie, like, do I care?
I don't. I wouldn't. Exactly. I don't. That's really cool.
Okay. Now I know what we gotta do. We gotta come up with a kick-ass whodunit turn into a slasher movie so that someone can be like, wow, this movie's really good and fun. And then we got them hooked so that they can we force them to watch our scary Black Mirror episode second half.
Okay, I actually really love this. It's like we are doing, for the first half, it's like, we're doing Agatha Christie. And then the second half is, this is a slasher movie, but the murderer is God.
Oh, yes, exactly. Holy, that's good. Okay. So we're gonna approach it a little backwards. Starts out Agatha Christie. Someone, you know, is, lights go out, and then someone is shot at dinner. Everything is going according to plan. Metabot sees everything going on, and then is like, well, okay, now that fear has kind of settled, let's switch it up and give him a whole new kind of fear, so that by the end of the night, of the event, like, they are afraid in every possible way. Oh, gosh. I hate this.
Okay, I know.
I would refuse to be in the writer's room of this movie. Like, just outright.
Don't go in there and write this movie. Don't tell me about it. But tell me everything about it on the day that we shoot. And keep the lights on. And
Okay. So, Metabot sees them. So, basically, since the enemy turns out to be, by the end of the second, or by the end of the first movie, since the enemy turns out to actually be the environment, Metabot is basically putting all the clues in just the right spots so that people's blame is always like, no, it's definitely you and I'm sure. I was wrong. It's you and I'm definitely positive. No, now I'm positive it was you, you know. So that the end, everybody, like, realizes at once. And then, yeah, there it is. And then that's when computer science guy, like, freaks out, uses the kill phrase, and then, phew, everybody gets out. And then he's, like, beginning to suspect he's in something, so he uses the kill phrase again. Nothing happens, and then he's like, oh, okay. And then, oh my gosh, that's good. He uses the kill phrase, and then he, like, waits, and then nothing happens, and then he, like, settles, and then AI bot lets him out, because he's, like, that's when the fear settles, and he's, like, he's over the fear, so AI bot thinks he has nothing left to learn from him.
Oh, man.
And then he's, like, now the fear will never go away.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
This is existential fear manifested. Okay, this is fun. Let's come up with the fucking...
That was a very Bo Burnham voice. Okay, this is fun.
Oh, this is fun. Existential dread. Meta artificial intelligence.
We're gonna try and bottle it and sell it.
Okay.
This is the Existential Terror Cast with the Pedgy Brothers.
I want to show this to so many people and then be like, wow, that's scary. And I'm like, you have no idea. I just showed this to you so I could feel smarter than you.
I appreciate how afraid I am. Yes. Much more than you do.
Exactly. My fear is better than yours. Okay. It starts, and I want the protagonist to not have, like, a day in the life more than, like, a scene. More than, like, a half a scene. Yeah. Did you see Ex Machina? Or as my friends and I like to call it, Robot Sex Movie?
Yeah. No, I didn't see it, but I remember the name Robot Sex Movie.
That movie is just cuts right to the chase.
Got it.
There's just, like, a very quick montage of, like, an office building, an email being sent out, and then, like, some facial scans going through, and the Donald Gleason reaction face cam of, congratulations, you won, and then everybody, like, shaking his hand, and then suddenly he's landing in a helicopter. We're, like, right in it.
To hang out with the sexy robot.
Yes, because that's all set up. He's already in. Where it's very tricky because you're establishing the normal environment, so to speak, as something that is unfamiliar to your protagonist. So you have to, right off the bat, say, oh, this is why he's here. This is why things are the way they are. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Take our word for it. Go.
Yeah.
So that that foreign to the protagonist environment can serve as the movie's sort of normality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, okay, so we've got the white room. Couple of questions, like, all right, fine, this seems fine, sign the contract, and then it's like, and then the beach house materializes and he walks inside, grabs an apple or something. It's like, well, thank you, Jeeves, but
yes.
And somebody like comes in off the beach from parasailing, and then it's like oh, hey, welcome, I think you're the last one here, like, blah blah blah, we're gonna have dinner. And then they're having a lovely little cocktail hour with everybody. It's like, I am the Maharaja of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Far away places, distant, interesting people. Because the Metabot is also studying how other people interact with each other and potential AIs and how convincing AIs might be. And how human beings interact with each other. And distinct human beings from different backgrounds with different personalities and all of that.
This is really solid.
Yes.
So, okay, yeah, this is cool.
Right, yeah. And the first person it ices is one that it has absolute confidence as a human being.
Uh-huh. Jeez. Okay, so now, quick timeout to clarify.
Uh-huh.
When you just said, it ices someone, it's positive as a human being.
Uh-huh.
Is that Metabot doesn't have that perfect information?
Metabot has determined it.
Okay.
Metabot has determined this is a person, and I am going to kill the lights and kill them.
Okay, so Metabot is killing who it's positive is a person and not an AI.
Yeah, like part of the experiment is...
Okay, wait, now time in, and let's say that bit again. Time in.
Yeah.
So, Metabot, part of, this is very complicated, part of the task for Metabot is, like we talked about, distinguishing who's a human and who's an AI.
Uh-huh.
So, when Metabot reaches a certain confidence that one of these consciousnesses, one of these people, is a human, it kills them.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that at some point it might have to be established that, like, this is one scenario. It runs programs on programs on programs, and we need more people to do this than we can possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
And this has taken just a weird, disturbing turn because of the data it wants to gather and feels that it can gather.
Okay, this is pretty cool. So the part of the setup would have to be, they don't know what's about to happen. Maybe some people are, like, confident they know what they're getting into, but the point is, there's not 100% certainty. There was never any promise that this is going to be any one experience.
Yeah.
So
it's
when it
wonky.
Yeah. But they do know that what's happening right now is there is an AI learning who is people and who's AI.
Uh-huh.
And so some people are like, oh, I think it's going to be like a, you know, Survivor. We vote people off. maybe. So when that first person dies and it's very melodramatic Agatha Christie style, they're like,
yeah,
like someone like almost freaks out. And some of them are like, no, wait, it's a murder mystery. And then people start getting hyped and excited. Main character.
And some, and a couple of them were like, I don't like this. I don't like this.
Yes. And then, maybe the admin. What sort of role should the admin take on? Who is like, I'm kind of feeling like, don't mind me, just here to observe.
But when... I think it should be somebody who insists that they don't like it. I don't like this. I do not like this.
Okay.
And it's like to deflect a little bit.
Yeah. I think it should be someone with very bad social skills. So it's just, and that, when it comes to bad social skills, this is a quick disclaimer. Usually people are like, when I say usually, I mean the old-fashioned way of doing it is like, oh, make them neurodivergent, and then it's impossible to get a read on them. And it's like, well, okay, that's kind of an easy solution because you're like basically bragging like, hey, I have no interest in learning how neurodivergent people think.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So it should just be someone who's like, just with bad social skills.
Uh-huh.
And that would be pretty tricky to actually write. Thank God that I don't have to do that right now.
Yeah.
It would have to be someone that, like, the audience could feel like, oh, he's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to, like, diagnose him and thinking, like, wait, is he this or that? It's just, oh, that guy's kind of weird and doesn't do a great job of expressing himself. So, come time Agatha Christie murder happens, he can be like, this is wrong. This is bad. And everybody else is like, well, we've established he's hard to get a read on, so this is probably... we're going to ignore his reaction, regardless of the conclusions we draw. So, more or less, everybody's all in on, oh, it's a murder mystery party. So, you know, yes. You can get all the different reactions to that. Like, I'm leaning all the way in because I feel safe. There are some people who are like, I know it's not real, but I still don't feel safe. And then there are some people who are like, I just do not feel safe. And then we get a murder mystery. This would have to be like a 2-hour-long episode if we actually broke it down.
Yeah, and I feel like when we get to the midpoint is that we've had 3 or 4 more people, you know, quote-unquote, die. And then they've inserted in, and it's like, that guy must be the murderer. And it's like, and they've got it. And then, but somebody works it out, and like, wait a minute, but he was with me. And yes. Nobody else could have done it.
Yes.
So what happened? And then, I don't know, the robot butler just axes that guy.
Oh, jeez.
And then the admin is like, okay, none of this should be happening. This, like, he freaks out and is like, what do you know, dude? And they, goodness. And then he comes clean. He's like, I'm an admin. I'm the only one who knows how this experiment works. That's still all of the rest of it was dark, but it was kind of in the parameters, and we acknowledge the possibility that we're going to get sued, but that's not supposed to happen.
Oh gosh.
All right.
Goodness, like, we're just, like, going through. We're not going to take a halftime break. Keep it going.
Okay,
keep it
great going. So we've gotten to this midpoint where it really comes, we really come to the recognition that, like, yes, one of us is an AI, but that's not the experiment. The experiment is to see if the environment can determine which one of us is an AI.
Yeah.
And it's determined that the way to do that in the scenario that's unfolded is, by causing us extreme distress.
Goodness.
Of different kinds. Like, it's led us to feel helplessness and abject terror and this, and personal despair.
Oh, jeez.
It's showing us things. It's putting us in situations in, like, fear, the fear of violence. And I think, now I think the question is, how do we pivot from this revelation to our protagonist pulling the kill switch?
The way I thought of the protagonist pulling the kill switch is the second he starts to feel overwhelmed, like starting to become convinced, oh, this isn't this was not part of the plan of that change I read about in the contract earlier.
Right. It's like, I think that what he should say is, now wait a minute. This can still be part of the experiment.
Yeah.
All of this,
there you go.
For all we know, that was four AIs planned out to croak.
Yes.
I've told you, I work in this field, and I've heard all sorts of crazy stories about experiments. Most of them are boring, and they turn, they have flickering light bulbs, and, but sometimes this kind of sometimes it gets way out there, and I think that this guy is the AI trying to mess with us a little bit to see how people react to this kind of revelation to better find AIs.
Okay. And then what sort of changes in between that and I'm freaking out here, I'm pulling the kill switch? That is the big question.
I think that what kind of has to happen is that it has to become emotional. Like, that, what I've just proposed kind of exhibits critical thinking to an almost unhealthy degree. Like, I can leap, and I think, like, what drives it is really morbid curiosity. It's like, I really want to see how this plays out.
Oh, jeebers.
Because, oh, and this guy, this our protagonist still has this sense of control. He still really believes he is in charge of his own destiny in this artificial world. Because, you know, like, when these people die, they're, let's be way on the outside, those people aren't dying. They're being ejected.
Yeah.
Like, they probably get an error message and say, here's a coupon for a non-messed up vacation. in the meta AI verse. Yes, I know what I just did.
Jeez.
I know, right?
Matthew has to hear this episode.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's gonna love it. So I think that what has to happen is we pivot from this I can think my way out of anything, I am the smartest person in the world,
yeah,
to the other end of the spectrum, this purely emotional, oh my gosh, I am so terrified.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking. What do you think can... you gasp.
He knows that there is only one restriction, and that is the AI is not me. And then something, I'm thinking he's left alone. There is, like, something happens that he starts to believe that he is an artificial intelligence. And that's what, like, overwhelms him with terror to flip the kill switch. And then he wakes up. And then, oh my gosh! And then he, like, goes on his way home. And then some sort of visual audio cue, like, repeats once or twice that he's like, oh, meta AI must be running out of RAM, haha. Yeah. Oh, fuck! And then he, like, tries the kill switch phrase again, and then he waits. And then he's like, oh, okay, cool, it's all good. And then meta AI is like, there we go, we got all we need.
Thank you for your participation.
Yeah, like, literally the exact same thing happens when he thought he came out. And versus when he does come out, and now he's left without any sort of assurance that he's in the real world. Gosh. This is... I can't hit the desk. I'm going to hit this desk. This is so cool.
It's so cool.
Oh, gosh.
This is maybe the most fun I've had recording the podcast, at least in a while. This is the most fun that we've had with this.
Oh my gosh. And this is, I was going to say this could be like a low budget thing, but I think this would be, it could be.
I mean, all of the big budget stuff happens is stuff that happens in post. It's mostly one location.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a little bit of money on practical effects and convincing robots and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I might try to make this someday.
I can't blame you. I feel like this is a project that's worth writing.
Yeah.
If you give it to somebody with money, you find the right director. I like this one.
This is awesome.
This is awesome.
Damn. Normally what happens is we come up with a name for the movie and all the major characters during the break. But this was more of just like a think piece rather than...
Yeah, and this... And I mean, I feel like these characters come out of like... kind of a round table. Like, yeah. we give some actors the treatment, mm-hmm. and they're like, we need a character that it leads to this.
Yeah.
And that could be an opportunity to craft some really cool performances. I like that. And I can't lie, I feel like we're gonna return to this idea. I feel like I also think we should put it out, because it's fun, and not a ton of people listen to this, and we can just take it down if we ever sold it or anything.
Yep, definitely.
I really love this, and I feel like this might be the best concept we've come up with together.
Yeah, definitely.
At least on the show.
Holy cow.
I know, so much fun.
Okay, well, that's the end of plot point brainstorming. To elaborate a little bit... We'll call it the White Room. We'll recap. We'll call it the White Room the protagonist is in when he's reading the terms of service. And uh-huh. he, like, you know, macro extreme close-up on him dragging his finger under a line of text that's, like, a phrase that he's, like, if these words are spoken at all, it's over. He's, like, do not say these words under any circumstances unless, like... you want to ruin the experience for everyone, or something like that.
Right.
But it's not quite that clear to the audience, but they get the phrase, and it's something unique, so they remember it for later. He goes in, the whole Agatha Christie thing happens, he broaches the phrase to, like, the admin, and the admin... And that can be what convinces him that he is in control, that he broaches the phrase to the admin, and the admin's like, no, 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 don't say that. And he's like, the admin wouldn't have stopped me if he was genuinely afraid. So I'm in control here, mm-hmm. so I know. And then people start dying, things start happening, and then he's, like, all alone, and he's like, okay, AI messed up, it was wrong, I'm stuttering a lot, so I'm gonna have to cut all that out. So he's left, he's not sure he's all alone. He's like, oh, wait, that group of two that left, they must be somewhere else. Because if it was just me and one other person, then I would know they're the AI and then it would be over. So I have to go find that group of two. And he looks all over and he starts freaking out. And then he's like, no, they have to be here somewhere, because if they're not, then I would be the AI and that is unacceptable kind of thing. And then he started, can't find him, freaking out. And then maybe he finds two dead bodies, or maybe he just finds one, or maybe he thinks he's about to find one, or maybe he can't, he's trapped in a room or something, freaks out, uses the kill phrase, and then wakes up in, I don't know, the White Room.
Yeah.
And then he's like, bah! And then they're like, thank you for your participation, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, okay, whatever. And then he starts going home, and it's just like long takes of very mundane things, him just chilling. And then he's, like, looking out, and he's like, huh. And he's like, eyes are super wide. He has still not calmed down hours later, and he tries the kill phrase again. All right, I guess that means wakes up in the White Room. Thank you for your participation. Go home now. And then the exact same long takes copied again, except he doesn't try the kill phrase that second time. Holy shit, dude. This is terrifying. I love it.
It's terrifying.
This is, when it comes to, like, being scared of meta-consciousness kind of topics, I'm usually just sitting out on the conversation, because I'm like, anything I can think of, a higher consciousness could think of. So, whatever I'm, like, proud of is trivial.
Yeah.
Compared to the topic at hand. So... disproportionately proud of this one. This is a heater
this
of an idea.
This is so much fun.
Oh my gosh, it's downright terrifying, truly. I saw a really funny meme. It was two metronomes talking to each other. It was, what should I do? Just be yourself. But myself is nothing but an ever-shifting back and forth of desires and morals. And then the other metronome, I'll just have fun then. The end?
The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter @StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.